Welcome to the Lending Forward podcast, brought to you by Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group. This is your home for real discussions about the mortgage and housing industry. Our hosts are here bringing you firsthand accounts from people at the heart of the business. And we're chatting with professionals from all corners of the industry as they help cultivate transparency around the future of the industry we love. Together, we are lending forward all we know to you. Thanks for joining us for today's episode. Let's dive in. This podcast is in partnership with Experience.com, the platform helping professionals and businesses take control of their online reputation and visibility. With Experience.com, you can turn customer feedback into powerful insights, build trust, and climb the ranks of online search like never before. Whether you're a local professional or a multi-location brand, our search rank platform and AI-powered tools make sure you show up not just on Google, but also in AI-driven discovery platforms like ChatGPT and Gemini. Experience.com is where reputation meets growth, giving you the edge to stand out, be found, and win more business.
Welcome, everybody. This is Bill Hitchcock here, Senior Vice President of Business Development at Atlantic Bay Mortgage, and I am super excited for this segment of Lending Forward to have our special guest on, Mr. Brian Green. Brian is the Vice President of Policy Advocacy at the National Association of Realtors, known to all of us as NAR. He leads a strategic advocacy in fair housing and industry policy, and he's also a seasoned voice on housing equity, legal reform, and public policy. That's a mouthful. We're here today to unpack a lot of different things that have gone on, you know, in this past year, and also where we're going kind of forward. But without further ado, Brian, thanks for joining.
Hey, thanks, Bill. Great to be here.
Yeah, we were chatting a little bit before you came on, and it's neat how we have that kind of jersey tied to Rutgers. Go Scarlet Knights. I think that's them, right?
It is my brother's school. I don't remember clearly.
yeah. So we'll see how they do. This coming year in sports and all things else, but. Brian, thanks for coming on. And I know that we've got some questions, a lot of stuff to dive into, but I always kind of like, you know, looking at one of those, did you know type of things as well. And as I was, you know, going back and I followed you before and looking at your bio and whatnot, do you have some tie to, I think you've got some tie to some very famous awards that are out there on some work you've done back in your life. Am I heading down the right path?
Yeah. You've done your research.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about that. I found it interesting.
I may be the only person on who's come on your show who has an Oscar. I don't know, but yeah. I write on the side and on a range of issues, music and history, civil rights. And I wrote a story about the Harlem Cultural Festival, 1969 festival in New York that many people forgot. It was the same summer as Woodstock. The story attracted some attention, and a fellow named Questlove decided he wanted to do a movie about it and access the 50 plus hours of music footage that people hadn't seen in 50 years. So I worked as a consulting producer on that film, and it won the Oscar for Best Documentary Film a few years back.
Wow, that's fantastic. I mean, what a way to kind of kick things off and open up. I feel like I'm in the presence of stardom now. So that's
just the stars cool. Behind me.
yeah, definitely. So kind of staying on that though. So putting together that compilation, I mean, what was the time period that took you, that you worked on that project?
Yeah, that was like around 2018 and 2018, 2019, actually it went into the pandemic. It was a couple of years, and the pandemic really kind of slowed us down because, we're trying to get people on camera. Many people who are like septuagenarians and octogenarians, like the actual performers and attendees, and no one wanted anybody coming in their house. And in fact, Lin-Manuel Miranda's in the film with his father. You can see that we did it out on the lawn. There's a certain period where you see some outdoor interviews, and that's because of the pandemic.
Got to pivot, right?
Yeah. But it was a great experience. It was, For music nerds, it was a real thrill. And my wife kind of thought, yeah, maybe, in some repertory theater, someone will watch this. And then we won Sundance, and then we won the Oscars. So it was a real privilege.
Well, that's incredible. So now, like, you go from like Oscar winner to all of the fun things that have happened in the NAR world over the last year. So I know, there was a point that I'm sure you just turned your phone off and just didn't want to hear from, from anybody. Being in the housing industry, I know, the agents and the realtors and everybody that we worked with got tired of all the questions too. But in the year since all happened with, the NAR settlement, as far as the industry, like what we're we it seemed like we all made it, right? There's still homes being sold, being bought, all those different things. But what's your take now a year after on all things?
Well, I would say that the more things change, the more in some fundamental ways they stay the same. So certainly there's this great demand for homes, and those who have waited a long time to sell their homes, who've gained a lot of equity in their homes, want to realize those gains and sell the price they think their home's valued. And it does seem that fundamentally people appreciate the role of real estate agents and the role of a real estate agent to help sell one's home and see that you get the value. So people, sellers are continuing to use real estate agents. They're continuing to pay sellers, sorry, pay buyers agents as well. And I think many buyers agents are appreciating the new standards and requirements because it does help create more transparency. And when consumers are going with you, they're really going with you, that they understand the process. And so, yeah, it maybe in the beginning created some hiccups for the industry, but it's a very adaptable industry. And, I think real estate agents are, committed to their craft. And so they figured it out and figured out how to keep humming along.
Right,
And
right.
that's what it's been.
I mean, it's kind of crazy if you think of it. That was what it was August 15th, 17th, something like
Yeah,
that.
almost exactly a year ago.
A year ago. So that, the settlement came out and we all thought that the world was, turning on its, on its ear. What is there a point that you can, that you can kind of pinpoint over that year time frame? So over the last 12 months, is there a point where, everyone at NAR kind of took a deep breath and you're like, okay, we're gonna be all right? I mean, was that like a week later? Did it just happen last week? I mean, was there a part, is there a part that you all start feeling like, okay, like you said, it's a very industrious industry, and it's a, it's a very I think it's an industry where we've always seen people being able to adjust and be resilient and pivot. So was it that point where you felt like, okay, we're going to be okay?
No, not really. I do think, I think every day we feel a little better, but it's really, it's in modest increments. As I said, I really think a lot of this comes down to a recognition that fundamentally both buyers and sellers see a value in real estate agents. And we're starting to see more reporting, more stories, more commentary. Where people are acknowledging the industry or the norms haven't changed a whole lot. And I think you're seeing some stories out there that sort of get to the heart of it, that sellers see a value in agents. And practically speaking, are doing a lot of the same things. So I feel encouraged when I see those news stories, and where people are kind of gnashing teeth and saying, "Well, we hoped, this would upend things more dramatically," and others saying it was working.
Right.
So, but I
Definitely.
think now it's working with greater transparency, and I think there's that value. And to the extent that, people can and will negotiate more, that's a good thing. But I think they're landing a lot of the times where they would have landed, say, 2 years ago.
Well, and that's why I was going to ask you, is that where you're seeing kind of the industry and the realtors and the agents that are boots on the ground in this? Is that where you're seeing that they kind of made the biggest adjustment was just creating more, transparency around the compensation structures and things of that nature?
Yeah, I think that's it. I think that's right. And I think this push to seismically change things also helped people appreciate what they had. One of the issues that we spent a lot of time talking about was just what the potential impact would be on first-time home buyers. If first-time home buyers, come up against sellers who are unwilling to pay buyers' agents,
Right.
and just how much more they would have to save in order to buy. We spent a lot of time talking that through, and I think some people began to realize, oh, yeah, that's going to be challenging. And we do see right now, for a host of reasons, that first-time home buyers are at the lowest rate that they've been. Since we've been tracking this, and the age of the first-time home buyers, the average age is 38, which is the highest it's ever been. And so I think that pressure also is helping people realize, okay, this tradition of sellers' agents paying buyers' agents has worked for generations. It may not be something to throw out with the bathwater. And then the other issue that's come up has been VA buyers, because the Veterans Administration actually had a policy that those buyers could not pay their buyers' agents directly. And so the question became, all right, if sellers decide not to pay, do we leave this important consumer base out in the cold? And no one wants to do that to our veterans. And so we, worked with the Veterans Administration, and they recognized, okay, well, veterans would benefit from having the same opportunities that others do. And they got rid of that policy to make sure that veterans in the market using a VA loan can compete on the same terms.
You touched on something that I think is important. When you look at first-time home buyers, and like you said, average age has now moved up to 38. It's at kind of an all-time low of first-time home buyers. It seems like there's this perfect storm, and I'm kind of leading this up, hoping that you can give some guidance through the storm. But it is things like this, like the settlement. There are the pressures around inventory. There are the pressures around where interest rates are, which all lead to affordability. So when you're with the NAR kind of think tank, are you is there a way to kind of like maneuver that ship through this kind of perfect storm that's there for the first time home buyer to where that starts to give them some some pressure release on that?
Yeah, there's a lot that we can do, as realtors, but then there's a lot more that needs to happen in terms of federal policy. I mean, as realtors, many agents distinguish themselves as agents who know all of the different programs that are available for first-time home buyers, and so I think we've got many agents who are leaning into that, who know how to access down payment assistance programs, how to access the programs at Fannie and Freddie that are great for first-time home buyers. But really, the biggest and most fundamental challenge we have is the housing supply challenge. And that's where our government advocacy in Washington is really key. Working with the Congress and working with the agencies like HUD to do the tweaks to make housing more affordable, to take the steps to create programs that may jumpstart more housing production. We also work very closely with other industry groups. We're parts of many different coalitions. I'm on boards and chair boards that are focused on the housing supply issue. So that's where we're putting a lot of our eggs. We're starting to realize some progress there. As I think many of you know, the Senate Banking Committee just recently advanced the first major piece of housing legislation in a decade, the Road to Housing Act. It's a bipartisan piece of legislation, which on a number of fronts promises to jumpstart the production of middle housing, what we call middle housing, the wide range of housing types that are missing in our marketplace. And so that's a very, very important first step, and it's making us all much more hopeful. But it's really that supply side that has to change in order to make housing more affordable.
Right. Yeah. I've been to a number of different builder conferences, this year, and supply, inventory, land, lot release, lot development. Everybody is out there talking about how do we, grow so that, that more homes can be built, so that we can face the, these challenges as well. So I still see that it's gonna be a little stormy there for, for the time being, but it does seem like there are more kind of activists, and there are more people really kind of being the ambassador to move some of these things forward. So fingers crossed and hoping that that does, come to fruition. One of the things that when you were talking, as you were talking, I was thinking about when you look at the end consumer and all of the things that are happening out there. So a lot of things, like you said, that are happening on Capitol Hill, around policy. One of the things that, we've seen out there is this kind of, Compass versus Zillow, the thrill in Manila. You've got this heavyweight battle of things that are going on out there. How, when you look at that from a NAR standpoint, do we foresee that challenge right now is going to end up benefiting the consumer, or do we feel like that is going to be something that could negatively impact consumers?
Well, I'm not going to comment on the lawsuit itself. I'll just say just generally that I think the marketplace is looking for options and transparency. And so I think those are going to be the guides for many industry actors. I know we at the National Association of Realtors, there's been pressure on us also to try to ensure that we continue to require members advertise on the multiple listing services, but also create options for those buyers who need privacy. And so we made some adjustments as well to try to tweak that to make sure we're serving best. We're serving both of those interests best. So I think we're going to see more just demands on maximizing transparency and availability while also allowing for some op other options in unique circumstances.
Yeah, and so NAR does a great job, I think, of being very policy forward. So you're working on driving the different the different initiatives, and also trying to bring about that, that awareness. But can you touch on some of the other things when you think of NAR, the things that that you're proud of every day when you're kind of working under, under that banner? I know that, NAR represents, what, over, million plus, realtors in the industry. But what are some of the other things? I love going and getting the data and the research that that you all work on, and that helps me be very functional in my job. But what are some of the other things that you have that proud moment about how NAR serves their community?
Well, I'm most excited because we weigh in on virtually every aspect of real estate. And so, as the vice president for policy advocacy, I have a team of 18 people who cover every issue you can imagine. We actually have a publication, A to Z, which lists every issue you can imagine and who on my team tackles it. But, just very briefly, I'll say, my team is dealing with everything from federal tax policy to insurance to conventional finance to fair housing, environmental issues, business issues. We do litigation advocacy. So, really, a 360 approach to all of it. And I'm pleased to have, the full complement of staff right now. Like, everyone's on board right now. And just when I see any issue coming down the pike, it's just for me exciting to see that someone's on top of it and sharing with our members what we're doing about it. And so, whether we see something coming out of the administration or something coming out of Congress, or even some issue that's bubbling up among industry actors where it's important for NAR to weigh in, we're engaged every day.
Yeah, and when you look at kind of in your crystal ball and the 18 people on your team, they tell me you have a crystal ball on your desk. So when you look in that crystal ball and you kind of are looking at the future, kind of two parts. I guess where do you have the most hope and excitement, and the other part, where's their concern?
Ah, sometimes they can be the same issue.
And
Well,
that's fair. You can bundle it together if you want.
no doubt, when you look into the crystal ball, you see the GSE's names floating around. So there's going to be plenty of talk about reforming the GSEs. There's, talk about whether they should be consolidated, or there's talk about, they're exiting conservatorship. Their role, their continued role as a utility. So we want to make sure that whatever the future is of the GSEs, that the mortgage market remains strong, and that whatever action is taken cautiously and in the best interests of the consumers. So that's one issue that's floating around in the ball. I think we're going to see more tax-related real estate policy. There are some items that we've been advocating for, like capital gains reform, some actions that can be taken that would encourage more current homeowners who've been sitting on their properties to sell their properties, but they're not selling out of concern of the large capital gains that they'll have to pay. Which is a lot more than was anticipated when the capital gains exclusions were created 28 years ago, when most of their gains would have been excluded. But because that figure was not adjusted for inflation, it's the same figure it was in 1997. So we're looking for some reform in that regard that could help move some property out there. We're pleased that some of the tax reform that came out of the big, beautiful bill, there are some provisions specifically for homeowners that were helpful, like increasing the state and local tax deduction. So that's good. There are some low-income housing tax credit provisions in there as well that might be in the crystal ball in terms of how that might jumpstart the creation of more affordable rental housing. So yeah, and then I think the Road to Housing Act, the legislation I mentioned earlier, I think that might jumpstart some other legislation and housing. I think people may get the housing bug. Chairman Tim Scott said, there's no issue like housing to bring the country together. And I think some of this is, this necessity is the mother of invention, right? And so we really do need to do a lot more in housing. So I do think we will see in the crystal ball more actors emerge, more legislation come forward, and maybe some more creativity in terms of how we make more housing available in this country.
Yeah, where do you see, Brian, where do you see that creativity or that maybe, need to evolve in an ever, evolving, market from the lender standpoint? Again, myself being on the lending side, where are you seeing, the biggest needs coming from, from our side of the, our side of the fence?
Yeah, well, one area, and I was just in California where this was a major topic, is in the area of accessory dwelling units, and finding ways, one, in communities for more people to be able to acquire slash build them as of right, but then figuring out the different ways in which people can qualify for home purchases with the potential rent that an accessory dwelling unit may provide. And then also, I think there are going to be more complicated scenarios that need to be figured out regarding the individual sale of lots that have ADUs as well. So I think, there's going to be more of that in more states. Right now in California, it's really taken off. But I'm hearing, especially in some of the Western states, much more interest in that.
Great,
And
great.
then
Yeah.
also lending in terms of construction too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you say, can you go a little deeper on when you say lending as far as construction, tell me more about that. Where are you seeing that that direction going?
Well, I just know that there's an interest in making in finding financing so that a homeowner can construct an ADU
Gotcha. Okay.
where the projected rent could potentially help in the qualification of the loan.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like there's a lot that probably helps you sleep, but also a lot that's keeping you up at night on these it is ever changing, and you've got so many things that are moving so quickly. But I'm old enough to have lived through the 2007, 2008 housing bubble, whatever you'd call it. I know there's a lot of other labels that we put on those very challenging times. And now you see that we're in other times that present challenges, but I think they also present opportunities. But I think as you touched on at kind of the beginning of the show, it's a very resilient industry. So I know we've seen a number of people get out of the industry on both the realtor side and on the lending side. But I do think that that's left opportunity for those that remain that like, and I think you touched on it. You may have said it a little bit about, people, really honing in on their craft. And I think that when I look at, NAR and I go to your website and look at all the things that you do, there's a lot of very useful tools there that I think help all of us get better at our craft.
Right. Yeah. That's our goal.
Well, listen, Brian, it has been great. I can't believe how quickly, the time goes, but it wouldn't be an episode of Lending Forward unless I asked you, how you want to lend it forward for the rest of the year. So take it away on your answer.
Yeah. Well, I want to do everything we can, both in terms of preserving housing opportunity and expanding it. So, in the way of preserving it, one of the areas where NAR is getting more actively involved, is in something called heirs property. In this country, millions of people have passed on property to their descendants without formal wills, without deeding the property, like subdividing the property properly. And as a result, it's created very unstable ownership for many, and many have lost property as a result of this. So we've been working with some of the leading organizations who are trying to help secure people's property. And state by state, the realtors have been joining an effort to create more due process when people find their property jeopardized. So that's really key. And then in terms of expanding home ownership, as I've said, we are very hopeful that the Road to Housing Act will lead to the blooming of thousands of other flowers as well. And so I do think we are at a point where more Americans are coming together to recognize that these housing problems aren't going to fix themselves and that we need to lean in more. So I am looking very optimistically at that future.
Yeah, well, I think that you really kind of tied a bow on it. There is a lot of optimism as we kind of work through this, and this has been fantastic. If you haven't followed Brian, check him out there, Mr. Brian Green with National Association of Realtors. To you and your team, you're doing a great job. Continue to provide great information, resources for all of us out there to kind of maneuver through this exciting playground that we're all on. But appreciate you coming on today, and hope to have you back again. We can exchange some notes over a cheesesteak next time we're up in that New
Yes.
Jersey, New
I'd
Brunswick area together.
love that.
Yeah. Well, thank you again, Brian. Thank you for everybody tuning in today and watching, and tune in for your next episode of Lending Forward. Thank you all very much.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks again for tuning into today's episode of the Lending Forward podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our channel, follow us on Instagram at Lending Forward, on YouTube and LinkedIn. Catch us every other Thursday with a brand new episode, and go lend something forward today. Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group, LLC, NMLS number 72043, NMLSconsumerAccess.org is an equal opportunity lender and employer. Located at 600 Lynn Haven Parkway, Suite 100, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23452.